Irene and Dorothea come up. I just want to share a few things with you and would ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts here for a moment. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 39, a very familiar passage as we consider the conversion of the person called the Ethiopian eunuch. Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 26. Familiar story for those of us who have walked through the waters of baptism, but maybe for some of you who are here today, maybe you've never even heard of the passage, didn't even know this was in the Bible. And that's why the Bible is such a remarkable resource for the believer, because it's a guidebook. It speaks life to us, helping us understand that others have walked before us in understanding these truths that we're sharing this morning. Verse 26, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is a desert road. And he arose and went, and behold, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah, reading the Old Testament scriptures. And so people today can still come to know Christ even through the Old Testament, because the Old Testament points to the Lord Jesus. It says in verse 29, the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." And when Philip had run up, he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture which he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shears is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who shall relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else?" It's a good question. You could be reading scripture and lose sight of who is to whom this is being addressed to. And so the Ethiopian eunuch is asking Philip a very important question. I want to understand what it is that I'm reading so that it has an effect on my life. And I think it's very important for us as believers to do the very same thing prayerfully. And then, if need be, ask others to help us understand the truths of Scripture. Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. And as they went along the road, they came to some water. And I guess in the midst of this conversation, they talked about baptism and how Jesus had been baptizing, how the disciples had been baptizing, how even John the Baptist had been baptizing. And so he asked the question, "What prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he ordered the chariot to stop, and as they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. Pretty simple story about baptism. Wonderful point of illustration for us this morning. Now, I have met with Dorothea and with Irene, and we as elders have met with them and talked to them about the truths of Scripture as it relates to baptism. And we'd just like to summarize a few thoughts with you in terms of what they've come to understand. First of all, they understand that they have a relationship with the Lord Jesus, the King of the universe, the Creator of you and I. They understand that this relationship is by faith in Christ alone. They also understand that, and come to realize, of course, prior to their conversion, they understood, in a sense, that there was something missing. But as they understood and were raised, their family, in Dorothea's case, family made it clear that she was to understand that she was sinful. And so, likewise, Irene also acknowledges that very fact. So they know that they are sinners, and the scriptures make that clear, that all of us are sinful. All of us transgress, or we do things that are contrary to what God expects of us. They also know that the Lord Jesus died for the sins of all people, and he did so for all time. In other words, the issue of sin Christ dealt with on Calvary's cross so that all who would simply come to understand who the Lord Jesus is may place their faith in him. They know that without his death and resurrection, no one could be delivered from the penalty of sin, which is death, eternal separation from God. They know that Christ's death and resurrection was simply an expression of God's love and grace. All of us as parents would understand this. We would, in a moment's notice, say, you know, I'll do anything to save the life of a child, my life's mate. And so we understand the expression of love as demonstrated in the person of the Lord Jesus, that sacrifice is really something that's part of life. And so the Lord Jesus demonstrated his love in the giving of his life. They know that the law contained, whether it's in the Ten Commandments or all kinds of laws that are expressed in the Old Testament, could never, did never, and cannot save them. That may be a new revelation for some of you. Maybe you thought that if you somehow just obeyed the Ten Commandments, that somehow you would be on your way to heaven. Well, it's pretty clear that if you transgress in one of them, the scriptures teach that you and I are actually going to be at fault in all of them. And so breaking one commandment would make us all guilty. And all of us undoubtedly have done that. And so they know that the law can't save them, nor can the law keep them secure. They also understand that the law had a purpose. The purpose of the law was to help us understand that God is righteous and that God also expects us to live up to what we've come to understand. We know we don't do so perfectly, and so we're in need of God's grace. We need his mercy in our lives. We need to understand his great love for us. And so they understand that the law brings judgment. It judges sin and ultimately brings death. They understand that the Lord Jesus is the only one who will secure their future. And they know that the promises of God concerning his Son are truth, and that they have placed their trust in the Lord Jesus. Today they understand that they have eternal life, and this is a life that can never be taken away. Regardless of what might happen, the circumstances that they might face in life, none of us know the future. Some of us could face some pretty devastating events in our lives which might result in some terrible consequences in terms of our own choices. God has taken all of that into account. That's why his grace is grace. Today, the question, of course, in light of the truths that were shared, and this is something that the writer to the Hebrews would say, this is what we would teach you as basic stuff. This is stuff that we would teach children to understand at a young age. Do you understand these truths? As you sit here and are going to watch and witness these baptisms, you say, no, I've never heard of them before. How can I get to know these things? Well, of course, they, as sisters in Christ, would be able to share some of those truths with you as they've come to understand them, as they open God's Word. Of course, many of us who have known the Lord for some time would be able to share that with you. And so don't hesitate to say, hey, I'd like to find out how I might be able to have a vital relationship with Christ. You say, well, you know, maybe at one time maybe as a young boy or a young girl, I had placed my trust in Christ, but I'm no longer walking with the Lord. Does that mean I'm still going to go to heaven when I die? Yes, it does. Because you see, your destiny is determined by the person of the Lord Jesus, not by any work, not even by any commitment. It's determined by virtue of your faith in him, and he's the one who sustains his promises. He's the one that brings them to pass. You say, well, I don't even believe those things anymore. I know I do now. I'd fallen away, but I don't even believe those things anymore. Does that mean I'm going to go to heaven when I die? Yes, it does. Because, again, God dealt with everything and every possible consequence in your life. He understands the choices that you're making. He understands that we all make wrong choices, and sometimes we live in the consequences of those choices. Well, you say, maybe you say, well, hey, I'm not sure. I'm not real sure about what I believe about these things, but I'd like to talk about it some more. Well, then we'd love to be able to do that with you. There's a resource just as you're leaving the building. It's called The Secret to Life's Meaning. It's just a small little track to help you understand how you might be able to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. They're free for the taking. Help yourself to that. You say, well, I am a believer, and I understand what's going on, and I just haven't been growing, I haven't been maturing in my faith. Well, there's another resource in the back, and it's called Starting My New Life in Christ. And again, it's a follow-up material to help you understand these basic truths that we've shared with Irene and Dorothea and with many of you who are part of this local church. The ladies are quite nervous. Many of you as friends and family co-workers have come to hear them share their testimony. And they said to me as I was speaking with them about the baptism, I'm nervous. I'm nervous. And I thought to myself, well, if you should be. I'm nervous, and I speak up here pretty much every week, and I find it, well, the reason why I get nervous is because what we handle here is the truth of God's Word, and we need to handle it carefully. So I'm going to call Irene to come up with her daughter, Natalia, and Irene is going to share her testimony, and then afterwards I'll just make a few comments in regards to that, and then introduce Dorothea to you. May the Lord bless you, Irene, as you share your testimony.
Hi, everybody. Я Ирина Ротнов, девичья фамилия Кислер. Я родилась в Казахстане в немецкой евангелической семье. В детстве, когда я была маленькой, меня крестили.
My name is Irene Rotnov. My maiden name was Kisler. I was born in Kazakhstan in German evangelical family. I was baptized as a child.
Тогда было такое время атеизма. У нас в деревне даже церкви не было. Бабушки тайно собирались на дому. Я помню, наша семья справляла Рождество и Пасху.
At this time it was atheism in Kazakhstan. There was no church in our village. Some old ladies met at their homes for church. I remember that our family celebrated Christmas and Easter.
В 1992 году мы всей семьей переехали в Германию. Там мы по праздникам ходили в немецкую церковь, но от Бога я была далеко.
In the year 1992, our whole family moved to Germany. On holidays we went to church in Germany, but I was far away from God.
Я была физически здоровой, сильной женщиной и привыкла в жизни всего добиваться сама. Решала все сама и надеялась только на свои силы. Наверное, поэтому было сделано много ошибок, так как я жила не по Библии.
I was a healthy, strong woman, and I got used to getting everything in my life done by myself. I made all my decisions by myself and relied on myself. That is probably why I made a lot of mistakes. I didn't know the teachings of the Bible.
С мужем я развелась, но со мной были двое прекрасных детей, и мы планировали переезд в Канаду. Но у меня было еще испытание, и как я пришла к Богу.
I got divorced, but I had two wonderful children, and they planned to move to Canada. After that, I had a difficult time in which I came to Christ.
Я очень сильно заболела. Физически я не могла работать, а жила я с больной мамой, которая нуждалась в моей помощи. И в это время дети уже были в Канаде.
I got very sick and couldn't work and lived with my mom, who was sick also and needed my help. At this time my children were already in Canada.
Мне очень много пришлось пережить. Принимала химиотерапию. Меня не покидал страх за будущее. Остаться в старости одной, возможно, даже в инвалидной коляске. Да еще пустота в душе.
I had a medical treatment and a chemotherapy. I was very scared to be alone and possibly in a wheelchair and emptiness inside.
Попасть в Канаду шансов было мало, хотя документы были уже в обработке. Мне было уже больше 50 лет, и еще больная, и не могу работать.
To immigrate to Canada was almost impossible, because I was over 50 years old, sick, unable to work.
Когда очень тяжело, и нет выхода из сложной ситуации, и не хватает сил, человек обязательно находит Бога, потому что Богу все возможно.
When it is very difficult and you don't have enough strength, I came to Christ because everything is possible for God.
И я нашла в Берлине евангелическую баптистскую церковь и покаялась. Все свои проблемы я доверила Богу. Я смирилась со своей судьбой. Пусть будет так, как угодно Богу.
So we applied for my immigration to Canada. I found an evangelical Baptist church in Berlin and repented my sins. I trusted God with all my problems and my future.
А дети мои и сестра меня не забывали. Каждый день звонили и молились за меня. Дочка раньше пришла к Богу. И Бог не оставил меня, за что я ему очень благодарна.
My children and my sister didn't forget about me. They called every day, prayed for me. My daughter came to God first, and I am very thankful that God didn't leave me.
Постепенно у меня здоровье стало улучшаться. Прошла медкомиссию, и дорога в Канаду была открыта.
Slowly my health started to improve. I passed a medical test for immigration, and the way to Canada was open.
Я везде чувствовала помощь Бога. Ведь я летела сюда на самолете одна, не зная английского языка, и все сложилось очень хорошо, не было препятствий.
Everywhere I felt the help of God. I flew to Canada alone without knowing any English, and everything went well.
За три года моей жизни в Канаде у меня намного улучшилось здоровье. Я не хожу к врачам, я не принимаю лекарств, и я работаю. Это же Божье чудо.
After 3 years in Canada, my health got a lot better. I don't see doctors and I don't take medications. And I am working. This is a miracle of God.
А главное, моя семья и сестра все вместе. Я их всех очень люблю. Это такое счастье жить с детьми и с внуками вместе. У меня их четверо. Кто это испытал, меня поймет.
Most importantly, my family and my sister are all together. I love them very much. That is such a blessing to live with your children and grandchildren. Who did go through it will understand me.
Поэтому я хочу и дальше жить с Богом, и для Бога. Хочу креститься, как это сделал Иисус. Я верю, что Иисус умер за меня. Он любит меня. И я стараюсь жить по Его заповедям.
I want to continue to live with God and for God. I want to be baptized like Jesus did that. I believe that Jesus dies for me, that he loves me. I'm trying to live my life like Jesus teaches.
Pretty powerful when you think of the work of God. And sometimes we wonder whether God can work in our lives even though we walked away from God. And so Irene is living proof of the mercy of God, the grace of God, and the power of prayer. Because in the midst of a lot of this heartache and disappointment in her life, there were others that were praying for her. And of course, in recent years, Natalia had been praying for her mother and her aunt and her brother and the rest of the family. And And so, Natalia, the Lord has answered your prayers. Some of you may have wondered, as she expressed in her testimony, she was baptized as a child. Why would she be getting baptized again? Well, I too was baptized as a child, and it was well-intentioned parents who sought to do the right thing. However, I understood later that that in itself doesn't get me to heaven when I die. The actions of my parents do not take precedence over my own choices. And so when I understood that God expected me to follow him in obedience and walk through the waters of baptism, that's what I did, and that's what Irene is doing today. And so if you have some questions about that, again, don't hesitate. Come and chat, and we can talk about that. Dorothea is a picture of contrast. We have Irene, who lived her life and has come a long ways in her life, and you can see, and you were to talk to her at length, she's had to live out some of the consequences of her choices, difficult choices. On the other hand, Dorothea is a young lady who basically is just beginning life. And so I pray, Dorothea, as you share your testimony, that again we might realize that God's mercy and grace is such that young people who are here would be able to avert and avoid to have to walk maybe even the path that Irene has walked and maybe some of us have walked, because with that comes a lot of heartache. May the Lord bless you as you share your testimony with us this morning.
Right. One of the verses that really comforts me is Psalm 145:18. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. I was born in Germany and grew up in a Christian home. I grew up always knowing that there was a God. I also knew that living in disobedience and without God, I would have to pay the penalty for being disobedient. I also knew that God died on the cross to pay for my disobedience and gave me eternal life. All I had to do was believe. I also believed that I had to say a prayer to become his child and secure myself a spot in heaven. When I was 6, I was so scared that I would die in a car accident before I even said that prayer that I went to my dad and I told him I wanted to say it now. So he, my mom, and I kneeled down in the living room and I said my prayer. I prayed for forgiveness and told him that I wanted to be his child. Then my parents prayed a blessing for me. The next day, I was still so excited that I went and told my grade one teacher about what I had done. Don't worry though, I went to a private Christian school and she understood what I was talking about. My teacher was excited and actually devoted the first few minutes of class to explain to the other kids what we would have to do to let Christ into our lives. Life just went on as it did. I participated in Sunday school, the church kids choir, and every other event that our church organized. One time, I was 12. I was sitting in church, and for the first time, I realized what God had actually done for me on that cross. I came home a little stunned and amazed by his grace. So again, I kneeled down in the living room with my parents. I prayed that I wanted to commit my life to God because of his grace and out of thankfulness. I do remember being more happy for the next few days, but after, things went back to what they were before. At some point after that, my relationship to God got better. I definitely prayed more and had random conversations with him throughout the day. I even started reading the Bible regularly out of interest. When I was almost 14, we moved to Canada. The move was very hard on me, and I grew slightly bitter because of it. My relationship to God slowly started to fall apart from that point on over the next few years. During that time, I was looking for a person that could relate to me, someone that understood, give me reasonable advice, and help me through the struggle. Every time when I thought I'd finally found that person, they would usually disappoint me and let me down. One evening, occupied with my own thoughts, I came to realize that God had heard and answered all of my prayers. Every prayer and every important and sensitive situation that I ever had prayed about came true. They definitely weren't answered the way I thought they would be, but they were. The moment I understood that everything had happened, had to happen for a reason, I was able to forgive. When I forgave, all the hatred was simply gone, and I was able to accept. The same evening, I finally found God as that one person that I could rely on. Even though God has been there all the time, I didn't want him to take full control over my life. That evening, I recommitted my life to him, to let him guide me and let him be part of me. To live with God is great, but the greatest benefit is that I know that I have eternal life.
Again, two different people, two different testimonies. Raised in a Christian home. And yet you would say, well, being raised in a Christian home should guarantee. There are no guarantees that a person who's raised in a Christian home would come to understand that Christ is the Savior of the world. If you're raised in a Christian home, as you were listening to Dorothea's testimony, hopefully you understood that in her case, it was somewhat of a two-step process in terms of understanding what she had received. At a moment in time, she simply believed her destiny was determined. But as she began to appreciate the relationship and understand how important it was to walk with the Lord and that the Lord was never going to let her down, she began to value that grace and that relationship. And so I would say that Dorothy has matured dramatically for her age to have understood that. Maybe you're looking to people to maybe make you feel good and feel accepted. A verse in Scripture in the book of Ephesians says that we are accepted in the Beloved, accepted in Christ Jesus. Dorothea, may the Lord bless you and bless your family as they walk with you by faith and continue to pray with you and for you. We're going to go and change. I'm going to ask Jody to come up. We have some scripture reading, and just so you're aware, we're going to have the ladies, they're going to sit up front here, and then there's some special music as well. And what will happen is that I'm going to actually get in the tank, and I'm going to call Irene in, and then we'll have that special music. She can hear that special music while we're there. Okay. Jody.
Okay, I'm going to ask John Cron to come up for scripture reading. While he comes up, you can turn in your Bibles to John chapter 4.
John 4, 1 to 14. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of eternal life through your Son. And thank you for those getting baptized here today. We just pray your blessing on that and just rejoice with them as they do that. just pray your blessing on the rest of the service here this morning. Amen.
Okay, we're going to have the worship team come up for a couple more songs, and then right after that, we'll have the baptism.
Мне сердце мечтою, вы с небес голубая, нашей общей судьбою стала вера живая. Он нас сделал родными, он нас сделал друзьями, дал нам новое имя, нас зовут христиане. Он нас сделал родными, он нас сделал друзьями, дал нам новое имя, нас зовут христиане. Иисус стал нам другом, мы на деле узнали, он врачует недуги, удаляет печали. Он нас сделал родными, он нас сделал друзьями, дал нам новое имя, нас зовут христиане. Он нас сделал родными, он нас сделал друзьями, дал нам новое имя, нас зовут христиане. Он дарует прощенье, мир и радость без меры, второе рождение, только искренно веруй. Он нас сделал родными, он нас сделал друзьями, дал нам новое имя, нас зовут христиане. Он нас сделал родными, он нас сделал друзьями, дал нам новое имя, зовут христиане. Он нас сделал родными, он нас сделал друзьями, дал нам новое имя, нас зовут христиане. Он нас сделал родными, он нас сделал друзьями, дал нам новое имя, нас зовут христиане.
Аминь. God bless you.
I didn't know that you were giving Russian lessons. I heard more than half of the congregation singing. Is that your new job?
Yes. Yeah,
teaching us Russian. That's great. You know, Irene, the Lord, through your life, is working to bring and encourage other believers to walk by faith. And so I want you to know that all of us here were encouraged by what we heard. And we appreciate the life that you live. We see your sincerity. We understand that you love the Lord Jesus. And that you want to, if you will, make up for lost time. But that's okay. The Lord understands that. Great will be your reward because you're walking by faith. Irene, do you understand that Jesus is the Savior in the world, and that having placed your trust in him, you have been granted eternal life.
Yes.
This is life that can never be lost, and so you can rest in that. You can rest in the mercy and the love of God. So based upon your testimony, I will be baptizing you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Dorothea, how did you get to be so tall? Yeah, really appreciated your testimony and the sincerity that you shared with us. It's an experience that all of us have. We sometimes get disappointed in people. We want people to stand with us through life. And although many of us would not want to let other people down, we do so inadvertently. And so when you came to realize that the Lord Jesus is the only one who can sustain you and be your friend through life, that was a pretty big maturing step. It's one that all of us have to learn every day. In your testimony, you expressed the fact that you believing that Jesus is the Messiah, that he gave his life so that we might have life. Your friends, your family are here today. They too are encouraged by your walk of faith. They watched you and they knew that there were times when you struggled, but they prayed for you and continued to support you. That's what you'll need to do for your friends as well, your brothers and sisters, your mom and dad. Yeah, it's great to have your church, your family with us in our church here. Having come to understand the grace of God, having placed your trust in the Lord Jesus, do you understand that you've been granted eternal life and life that can never be lost?
Yes.
Based upon your confession of faith, I'll be baptizing you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Call up the worship team.
baptismal candidates come back up again, just so that we can close the service with praying for them. And just been very encouraging morning as we've been able to see them get baptized. And I hope you've been encouraged by that as well. So I just want maybe turn to John chapter 6 before they come up here. Just John read a little passage from chapter 4 earlier, and just about the spiritual water, and this kind of goes a little bit along with that. It's the talking about the bread of life. So in John chapter 6, this is shortly after Jesus has fed the 5,000, and now the people are following him. And in verse 26, he says this, "I tell you the truth, you are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." They asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" And Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." Of course, they were still looking for something miraculous, and they said, "You know, we still need to see a sign." Jesus said in verse 32, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said, "Wow, we'd like that kind of bread." So they said, "From now on, give us this bread." And Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never grow hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at that last day." And then turn to verse 47. He says, "I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever." Such an encouragement to read these words and to be reminded on a morning when we see these baptisms, how God provides eternal life so freely, and he will not let one of those who has believed in him go. So anyway, Mike, you want to come up and have a prayer?
Yeah, the verses that Jody shared, of course, should be central to our understanding of the gospel. Gospel is so simple. Of course, the text that John read, I really wanted to draw your attention to verse 14. Because I think all of us who have placed our trust in Christ, even as these two ladies have, are really saying something as they've walked through the waters of baptism, is that they are thirsting, longing, use all kinds of different metaphors, but they desire to have and are walking in a deeper fellowship with God. And so the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 say this, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." The satisfaction of our relationship with the Lord Jesus stems from the fact that we walk with the Lord Jesus every day. And so that's what we're going to pray for you two young ladies, that you'll continue to walk by faith. Let's pray together. Why don't you stand with me? Stand with them today. I didn't understand the song that Lubov said, apart from the introduction, but I know that our names and those of us who walk with the Lord faithfully will be granted a new name by way of reward for faithfulness. And so I pray that, and apparently it's a name that only you know between you and the Lord. And so there's something very special and very unique about that. Let's pray for them. Lord, I thank you
again for the time that we've been able to share together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Greatly encouraged, Lord, by the work that we see in Irene's life. She has faced challenges that many of us have not. And yet, in spite of all of those difficulties, she has recognized your mercy and your grace. She knew she had to turn to you, to seek you. And so I pray, Lord, that through her life you'll use her to draw other men and women who may be in similar circumstances might consider who you are. And so use her life in such a way that she'll bear fruit, not only through her family, but through extended family, through the friends and co-workers who have joined her here today. Lord, for Dorothea, we thank you for her faith, her love for you, and her desire to honor you, even at a young age. And her desire, Lord, to walk in obedience to what your word has to say, beginning with baptism. And so, Lord, in those moments of despair and discouragement in her life, encourage her with the fact that you do love her. Bring friends into her life that will stand with her by faith. Thank you for those that do. Thank you for her parents who stand with her as well, and brothers and sisters. Thank you, Lord, for each one here. And as we stand here today, we give testimony to the fact that you love us. And many of us here have already walked through the waters of baptism, but we are reminded afresh of the joy and the simplicity of the gospel. And so we pray that you might bear fruit through your church throughout the world, because we have spent time here today reflecting upon your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you. You may be seated. Just one more announcement before you leave. I had a look down in the kitchen, and there is so much dessert there that I won't be able to eat it all. And so we've actually set a few extra tables for friends and family that you've invited, Dorothea and Irene. And so join us today. We're going to be breaking bread together around the table, all kinds of Thanksgiving-type dishes. And today is a day of Thanksgiving, certainly for the life that's been granted to us, for family. And by the way, although immediate family is very important to us, you are also very important to us. Because frankly, there's no greater family than the family of Jesus Christ. And so may the Lord bless you. If you couldn't stay with us today, may the Lord strengthen you. May you enjoy the time with your family gatherings and such this day as well. Have a great day. Greet each other with a holy handshake. Lord bless you.